We are coming to the conclusion of the Easter season, this being the seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after Ascension Day. My first encounter with Ascension Day happened in England in 1992. Some of you know this story. I've had some new insights about it that relate to the gospel this year, so if you've heard it before, humor me. I'd been going to church for the first time in my life since Easter of that year, so for 40 days, six Sundays. I didn't know much about Christianity, really. I knew something of God that had kept me going to church after that first mystical experience, but I was brand new to all of this in 1992 at the age of 24. I was in England, in Leicester, doing a master's program in English local history, and my time there was coming to an end, so I was intent. I was very focused on getting enough research done so that I'd be able to write my master's thesis back in the U.S. So on that Thursday, 40 days after Easter Sunday, I was heading to the library, sort of laser-focused on getting there. And what happens, and there's this huge park, and there's this long sidewalk, and lots of people around, and I run into the priest at the church where I'd been attending. And he says to me, "Are you coming to church tonight?" I'm sure I had a blank look on my face. It was a Thursday, after all. And he says to me with great enthusiasm, "It's Ascension Day." I probably still look kind of blank, but I said, "Oh, okay, right, sure, I'll be there." I had no idea what he was talking about, but I felt that I wanted to go. And it was in that moment that I had an experience of what I think we're hearing about Jesus speak and pray for us in today's gospel reading, of being in the world but not belonging to the world. I had thought at that time, wow, this Christianity stuff is really changing my life. I share this story with you in part to invite you to reflect on your life. And when you have felt or known or suspected that your life, while in this world, is not of this world, does not belong to the world. And by the world, and this is what Jesus was getting at, by the world I mean all of those expectations and structures that encourage us to focus on what is material as a measure of success, a measure of who we are. There's a lot in life that can tell us that we are not this or not that, not worthy, not successful. And even when we are successful by the world's standards, most of us have been so conditioned by our culture to see what we don't have instead of what we do have and who we are. There's a lot in life that can also tell us to do things that we know are wrong in the sense of not being life-giving for us or others. There's a lot in life that can try to motivate us by fear, scarcity. But when we have those God moments, we know who we are. We know that we are grounded in our belonging to God. That helps us to keep life in perspective, God's perspective, that each of you, every person, is a gift of God's grace to this world, that you are in this world, a gift to it, but not belonging to it. When we have God moments here in church or on a sidewalk, when we're perhaps thinking of something else, God helps us to choose the life-giving options for ourselves and others and for the whole creation. The story of my first Ascension Day, I shared also to make the point that God uses people like that priest I ran into. God uses people to help others know to whom they belong. Certainly God is greater than the church, but God uses the church, uses us, For we are the church, the body of Christ. God uses us to touch people and to make a difference in people's lives and the life of the world, to help others know to whom it is they belong, the gift that they are. So on my first Ascension Day, I didn't know what it was all about. And since that day, I've realized that many don't know much about Ascension Day anymore. As a historian, I've wondered about how that day came to be and what really happened. But as a student of the faith, I'm more interested in what it means theologically. What's behind it? Why did the idea of Christ's ascension grab hold and have the staying power that it has had? What does the ascension tell us about God and about the salvation we have through Christ? Through baptism, you've heard me say this many times, and we hear it in the service, through baptism we have been united with Christ. Therefore, what can Christ's ascension tell us about who we are? So ascension was, in some ways, thinking about it historically again for a moment, to go back to that, necessary to the story. The risen Christ had been appearing in risen form in specific moments and places. Come, Thomas, put your hand here. Come, Jesus says, come, eat some fish I've grilled on the shore. The ascension meant that no one would see, no longer would they see the risen Christ in some sort of bodily form, whatever that was like. They wouldn't see Jesus, the Christ, connected to one place and one time. Rather, the ascension made the risen Christ the cosmic Christ. The risen Christ ascended not to leave, but so as to enter more fully into the life of the world. And we're united with Christ. This is the same Christly identity to which we are called, that through our faith and our awareness of who we are for God, we can live more fully into the world and the issues of the world, to be light in the world without belonging to the world. Sometimes people get that all confused, right? Every now and then we hear about groups that try to isolate themselves in some sort of spiritual nirvana and say this, the spiritual is what's important. We don't believe that as Christians, right? All of life is spiritual. The material and the spiritual are linked. So this seventh Sunday of Easter is an interesting in-between time as it comes to us between Ascension Day and the day of Pentecost. In-between times can be stressful. We heard that in the collect. You might be wondering, I mean, someone who's not that familiar with the church might be wondering, why did we pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit? Hasn't all that happened already? Yes, it has. So we're living into this in-between time right now, remembering it and sort of re-entering it. So in-between times, it can be hard to be grounded. There can be concern about the dependability of what we think will come next. In the reading from Acts for Ascension Day, when Jesus, the risen Christ, is taken up into heaven, his friends are watching this, and two angels appear, and they say to these people, why are you staring up toward heaven? This is not the end of the story. This is what they're saying. And we too must live when we're in the in-between times, while we anticipate seeing greater things than we have seen thus far. For those who were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, such was the case. We are remembering that time, entering into it ourselves this week in prayer. We may wonder what it was like waiting back then. We may wonder what it's like waiting now. For in many ways, we are always waiting, always in an in-between time, always standing on the threshold of a new experience. Esther DeWall writes of this in her little book entitled To Pause at the Threshold, Reflections on Living on the Border. She writes of twilight as, quote, the time between times, and goes on to tell this story. Recently, when a nun in her mid-90s sent me a note on my birthday, she quoted a line of Hegel: "The owl of wisdom flies in twilight." And then the nun goes on to say, "I like to think that as we get older, we live in two twilights, the evening twilight of letting go and the dawn of looking forward. In both, Christ is our light." Wonderful words about getting older, and also about the many transitions that we experience in life. I imagine the period between Ascension and Pentecost, and perhaps our prayer experience of it can be something like this evening twilight of letting go and the dawn of looking forward. What will the coming of the Holy Spirit be for you this year? What keeps us grounded in God in our in-between times, in our times of transition, in those times when Christ seems to be ascending and we don't know what will come next? How do we live that prayer Jesus said for his friends that we heard in John's Gospel, that he said for his friends then and now, knowing that change was coming, that he would not be with them as he had been? Those words from John's Gospel are all about what God had already done and would do so that those who live in the world could live as Christ's own, as disciples and friends of God, so as to continue the work of God in the world and continue to experience themselves, ourselves, as belonging to God. Practically maintaining this awareness can be difficult. There are some questions that might help us, found in a little book called Moment by Moment, A Retreat in Everyday Life. Just hearing that title can help me take life moment by moment. The section in the book entitled My Identity in Christ, My Identity in Christ, seems like a good prayer focus in response to our reading from John's Gospel and our consideration of these in-between times. What does my baptismal identity mean to me is one of the questions. What difference does it make in my choices? If you'd like to really delve into this in a group setting, we're actually going to be talking about this Wednesday night in the Episcopal 101 class that meets at 7. All are invited. This question gets to the heart of what we might mean by our identity in Christ. What does baptism mean? And then another question that might help us as we manage these in-between times: how do I experience temptations to ignore or compromise my personal and Christian identity? And another: what has been the fruit of my struggles to live in a way that is true to my identity? And what helps me integrate my various roles into my basic identity? Let us pray. Thank you, God, for claiming us as your own. We live in the world every day as your children, as your friends. Help us in those in-between times and in times of challenge. Help us to remember that we do belong to you, that we have been created in your image, and that you are always with us. In the name of the risen and ascended Christ, we pray. Amen.